One of the best teachers in Illinois is right in our backyard. Helen Brandon is a top 10 finalist for Illinois Teacher of the Year. She is a 6th grade math and science teacher at Bloomington Junior High School. Brandon tells WGLT student reporter Julie Sherman about her teaching philosophy.
It's important to think on what do you want, what kind of experience do you want for your kids? And when I think on my beautiful, diverse classroom, it's diverse in just about every way, you know, language, academics, socioeconomic, and it's just beautifully diverse. And my goal for my students is that they want to come to school, that they feel appreciated, that they feel like their experiences and their lives are valued, and what they have to bring into the classroom is valued. And so when I think on my teaching philosophy, it is I want kids to see that I understand they're not an empty vessel that we're pushing knowledge into. Our goal is to make their experiences a part of what they're learning. And I also want them to see themselves in a bigger, like in a outside of their little bubble, you know? And so how can we as sixth graders, you know, change the world? You know, and that's a big thing, you know, like how am I this one person? But how can you change, you know, and it's also knowing what you can control. You know, you can only control certain things, but it's getting them to think about outside of themselves, outside of our school, that we're part of a much bigger, beautiful thing. And even if it doesn't always feel that way. So my philosophy of teaching is teach kids to value each other, teach kids to value who they are, teach kids to value their families, their culture, their background, and teach them to value that they have a role in. They have a role.
As a science and math teacher, how do you feel about the lack of gender diversity in the STEM field? Specifically, how only a small percentage of math and computer professions, engineering and architectural jobs are carried out by women. How can you crush gender stereotypes or sexist behavior in your own classroom?
And I would also include in there our ethnic diversity. And when we look at cultural diversity in STEM fields, it's also an area that we need to focus on. And so to do that, the first thing I feel like we need to do is have open conversations with kids that are well thought out, clear conversations where you talk about and challenge the ideas and these ideas that they have deep rooted within themselves that they don't always realize are there. So there's like this common activity. It's been done for years. I think I probably did it. You probably did it in junior high where you draw a scientist, you know, and you talk about it. But you have to go beyond that. Why do we see when we draw a scientist, why am I always drawing Albert Einstein? Why is it? It's going beyond, yeah, you've drawn this and that's not what they always look like. Why do we draw that? And then kids have to see other models. So what is it? What can a scientist look like? And who are scientists? And what does it mean to be a scientist or a mathematician? And what's valued and what's not valued? And where is science and math present in your upbringing? That has nothing to do with anything like this crazy haired, you know, scientist. Not saying that that isn't, you know, Albert Einstein did a lot of things for science, math. But so one of the things that we do is we do right at the beginning of the year, we talk about science identity. And that's one of the things I'm really interested in is when I look at, so I'm working on my doctorate right now in teaching and learning, like curriculum and instruction is basically what that is. And I'm focusing a lot on science and math in those STEM fields and culturally and linguistically diverse students. And when I look at my females and I look at my diverse, you know, students who don't picture themselves, that's something that I talk about right away. So, and I know that they can't see my little photos and stuff in here, but on one board, there's a STEM leaders board, and it was a movement by a group of female artists to show some of the different STEM leaders who are of different backgrounds, different, you'll see that there's different languages represented. There is one who's in a wheelchair. It's those trying to break down that stereotype. On another board, it said, who's that scientist? And they're from all beautiful cultural backgrounds. There's white males, white females, African American, male and females, Latina and Latino, male and females, and Indian, Asian, I mean, all, you know, trying to have students see, wait a minute, they have to see those models. And we do a big activity where the kids have to do this big escape bag. And at the end, they're trying, the whole time, they're trying to get this idea of who are scientists, and they're really invested. They solve one problem, it gives them a lock. They open up the next lock when they finally figure it out. And there's a, they're kind of like Russian, the dolls that kind of like fit into each other, and they're just little bags and little bags and little bags. And when they finally get to the last bag, it says, it becomes clear when they have a transparency, it becomes clear who the who scientists really are. And they're just like, okay, we got it, I think it's this. And when they open it up, and this is where like fifth graders, shh, cover your ears, okay? But they open it and it's a mirror, and they reflect literally and on their, you know, they reflect on why is there a mirror in there? And then the kids are like, oh, because it's us. And I think that's the piece that sometimes is missing. This is a crucial time in their development. And it shows that middle school is where we start losing kids. Females, a lot of our diverse students, we start losing them in math and science at middle school level. So I feel like we need to target it early, talk with them, but it goes beyond the talk. It's helping them see the models. It's helping them be a part of it. So when they're having active science discussions and talking about how their experience have framed their understanding, and it's also getting them to see that in my home, we use science and math all the time. And my mom is cooking, she's using a lot of science, but they don't, it's getting them to see that science is not always like, ooh, I'm blowing something up in a lab. Not that you should do that in science, but it is getting them to see themselves as scientists early and get them invested. And I think that's the way to break down those barriers. You've got to get them to the point that they're interested in it and that they see that they have a science or math identity. And then that is something that they can build on throughout and hopefully go into those fields.
What did your journey look like when you finally said, I'm a teacher, that's what I'm going to do?
I remember when we were younger, we used to go to garage sales a lot. I think that was one of the ways, you know, we were family six, we sometimes stay busy. And I remember I used to always love teaching teacher manuals. Like I remember just, I don't know why teachers were selling the teacher manuals, but I really used to buy those up. And I remember I would sometimes quiz my brother, and he jokes, my little brother, that I used to give him math nightmares. So, and I know that I also used to say I was going to have 20 kids. And that's when I was little. And then when I went to college, I thought I wanted to be a biologist. So I was really interested in biology. And that was originally what I was thinking of doing. And then I decided, no, I really love science, but I also did a lot with the forensics team, like speech team. And I was like, I'm going to do communications because I really like to talk. and so that's what I was doing. I was going to do communications, and I was going to get a minor in Spanish. And so that was kind of my focus. And then I did an internship reporting, and I liked it, but I just wasn't 100% sure that's what I wanted to do. And so then I started like, oh no, you know, you're in the middle of college, like I can't switch now. And so I started tutoring, and I tutored a young girl. So I went to a college in Kansas in a small school called Bethel College. And I went to go work in this small rural school in Kansas. And the teacher said to me, she goes, hey, I don't speak any Spanish. We just got this new young lady, this is a first grader, and she doesn't speak much English, and we were wondering if you could work with her a little bit and see, you know, what might she need, you know, for supports from us. I'm like, sure, you know. And it was really my first experience with tutoring. And so she and I sat and we talked, and I remember we were reading, you know, like Are You My Mother, and we were reading it in English and Spanish, and she and I were talking about the book, and she had so much pride in her Spanish, and it was just so amazing as we were talking and how much she loved school and how she was telling me what was tricky and what, you know, wasn't. And when I met with the teacher and I kept working with the girl, I realized like a different type of passion that I'd had for the other things I was studying. I'm like, oh, this is what I want to do.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm here with Helen Brandon, a sixth grade math and science teacher from Bloomington Junior High, who was nominated by her community for a prestigious award. Mrs. Brandon is one of 10 finalists for the 2020 Illinois Teacher of the Year, which will be formally announced at the Those Who Excel banquet next month. I'm Jolie Sherman. Mrs. Brandon, what do you enjoy most about teaching sixth grade?
So when they come to us, we're the beginning of their middle school journey, and I love that. I love helping them through that transition. I love how they're starting to get sarcasm and jokes. They want to have quality conversations. They're somewhat awkward here or there, and they're just such cool people. And not that they're not cool people everywhere. I'm a little biased since I've been here for 15 years teaching sixth grade. But what I love about sixth grade is that I love the way that students are learning who they are. And I love that they're starting at this point where they're like questioning things and they're starting to ask good questions about like, hey, why is this and why is that? And we give space to talk about emotions and things and relationships, you know, with each other, you know, and friendship, you know, friendships and things like that. But what I love about sixth grade is just I love seeing the students interact. And I love interacting with the students. I love to help them build relationships with one another. I like getting to know them and figuring out their that relationship too. And so the best thing about teaching sixth grade is just the kids and seeing how they grow from start to finish and how they transition in and how they transition from getting a little bit more responsibility and helping them through that transition.
So right now, a pretty prevalent issue is the teacher shortage across Illinois. The fight to find qualified teachers across the state is a contributing factor of the teacher shortage. In some counties, there are almost 70 teacher openings. And if those spots aren't filled, teachers can have a class of 40 students as opposed to the average 20. Could you tell me a little bit more about what you know about the teacher shortage?
When I finished college, we were in a teacher surplus, right? We had lots of teachers going for less positions. And this is a critical time. We've got a lot of teachers retiring. Put that with the fact that less people are going into teacher ed programs. Some of the new requirements, you know, have been a challenge for some of the graduate, you know, the new graduates. And you add on that some of the, you know, the feelings that can sometimes teachers feel from community, you know, and all of that kind of leads to a situation we're currently in, which is that we have less teachers going for more positions, if that makes sense, as people are retiring and leaving the field. And I think one of the things that is hard to get an undergrad to understand is that teaching is difficult and you're going to need help and support. And so I think then sometimes, you know, we lose so many teachers in their first 5 years. And then those are more positions that we're trying to fill because teaching is a labor of love. You know, it just is. And I think one of the good things about the teacher shortage is the conversations that are happening around it. And these are conversations about how do we support our teachers? How do we support our student teachers and our pre-service teachers? How do we support those who've been in the field? And those conversations have stemmed because we're afraid of not having, I mean, because of the teacher shortage in a lot of ways. And I hope those conversations continue because those are the things, looking at mentoring programs for new teachers. ISU's done some really great things with having clinical students who are getting more exposure to the classroom throughout their experience with their junior and senior clinical blocks. And all of those things hopefully will lead to, you know, those retaining those teachers.
We just heard from sixth grade math and science teacher Helen Brandon from Bloomington Junior High. She is one of 10 finalists for Illinois Teacher of the Year. Considered for this award are teachers who impact the lives of their students and go above and beyond to improve their school community. I'm Jolie Sherman.
The State Board of Education will announce the 2020 Illinois Teacher of the Year during the Those Who Excel banquet October 19th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Normal.